If you will, please open your Bibles this evening to the book of Acts, chapter 11. And I want to talk about the subject of cleaving unto the Lord. Cleaving unto the Lord. Our brother Brent has been preaching a series of lessons on the book of Acts, and I know you have enjoyed them as much as I have. It brings to our mind so many wonderful lessons of the early history of the church, of the early history of God's people. Imagine the excitement as the gospel was first being preached. Individuals who believed with all their hearts that Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth, who had done mighty works and wonders among them for 3.5 years, who had been preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the excitement that had been throughout the regions of Judea and Galilee and even into Samaria, the multitudes who had gone out to see Jesus, the multitudes who had flocked out to see Jesus, the many who had become his followers and loved him so dearly. But then it came apparently all crashing down as the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes connived together to put him to death. And you can just imagine the heartbreak of the common people, the ones who loved him so much, the ones who looked to him to be the Messiah, the ones who believed in him, and how heartsick they must have been in those 3 days after his death. And then amazingly began to be reports circulated that some had seen him alive. And then others saw him alive. Then, of course, the events of Pentecost and the falling of the Holy Spirit on the apostles and the preaching of the gospel and the conviction that Jesus, this Jesus, was raised from the dead and that this was all according to God's plan. Just imagine the hearts of the people, the excitement of the people. And then individuals by the thousands are becoming followers. Individuals were being baptized into Christ, 3,000 that first day. And then the book of Acts tells us it came to be 5,000 and then multitudes more. And a number in chapter 6, a number of the priests were obedient. Think about that. Here are the priests, the ones who served in the temple. The ones who were supposed to be the leaders of the people of the old ways are now coming to the teaching of the apostles and joining in with this group of people who are giving themselves to Jesus, being baptized into Christ, and joining themselves with this new upstart group of folks who are worshiping in Jerusalem. And then Brother Brent has led us as we see the persecution arises. And as they begin to spread abroad. And here in chapter 11, saints, Christians go as far as Antioch, preaching the gospel. Now, I know some of you are saying, he's already covered this. Why are you talking about it again? And it's because he didn't really do a very good job. No, of course, that's not the case. But sometimes it's kind of like, it's kind of like when you hear something interesting, and you hear a story, and it's interesting, and I don't know about you, but I go home and I start Googling. That was an interesting movie, or that was an interesting thing I heard. I want to learn more about that. And so sometimes I'm triggered to preach on things, not because he didn't do a very good job, but because he just caused me to think about something, and I really want to just focus on one verse tonight, so maybe it won't be too much overlap. But you will remember, of course, that the gospel did go to Antioch. And the gospel was preached there. And chapter 11, Verse 20 says, there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned to the Lord. And the report concerning them came to the ears of the church which is in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas as far as Antioch. And so imagine the excitement of the apostles and those in Jerusalem when they heard that the gospel was going forth and the gospel was being believed and a church was now started in Antioch. And so they want to send someone up there to help. And who do they send? Of course, they send Barnabas. We've seen him before, the son of exhortation. And they send Barnabas as far as Antioch. When he was come, it says, verse 23, and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. And that's our topic this evening. Of course, the passage goes on to say he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Much people were added to the Lord. He went to Tarsus. He found Saul. He wanted more help. He knew of Saul and what Saul had done and how faithful Saul had been. And he goes and gets Saul, and they come and they continue. And the disciples were called Christians, verse 26, first at Antioch. But this phrase here struck me. And so I want to talk a little bit about it this evening. Cleaving unto the Lord. He went unto Antioch, and he exhorted them that with purpose of heart, with purpose of heart, they should cleave to the Lord. All of us should cleave to the Lord, and we should do it with purpose of heart. Whether we are new Christians, just believing recently, whether we have been followers of Jesus for a number of years, we should, with purpose of heart, we should cleave unto the Lord. The word cleave is an interesting word. It just simply means to remain with, to cleave, just like we would understand. To hold fast to, according to Strong, to remain still, tarry, to stay. And so to remain with, to continue with, another dictionary says to abide with, to continue with, to adhere, to persist, to hold on to. And so we understand this idea of holding fast to something or cleaving to something. The New American Standard says remain true to the Lord. I underline that. I put it in italics because in the New American Standard, it's in italics, which means the translators are saying it's not the original text. And so really the word is remain. Just remain to the Lord. The ESV says remain faithful. They insert the word faithful. They didn't put it in italics. But that's really the idea. Remain true to the Lord. Remain with the Lord. Remain with the Lord. He exhorted them to hold fast, to cleave, to remain, to stay. Don't be moved away. Stay with the Lord. Remain with the Lord. And so today, in like manner, we need to cleave to the Lord. First of all, and I just have three simple points this evening. The first is we need to cleave to Him because He's the one we belong to. He's the one we belong to. When I think of the word cleave, oftentimes I think of the marriage relationship. Because of the passage in Genesis chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. Sometimes we say leave and cleave. And so for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother. Young people, leave and cleave. Okay, I know mom's here tonight. But girls, you leave and cleave. And boys too, you leave and cleave. When we got married, Becky's mother told her, you're not coming home. You're not coming home. If you have a problem, you can come and talk to us about it. But you're not spending the night here. You're not staying one night away from your house. You guys are going to work it out. You leave and you cleave. And there will be things to work out. There will be things that we disagree with. There will be things that we don't see eye to eye. We will have those disagreements and fights, but Nana was saying to her, you leave and cleave. You're not coming home to stay. And I know Mamba would agree with that 100%. You leave and you cleave unto one another. And the principle is true when we think about leaving and cleaving to the Lord. We've left the world behind. Don't you go back. Don't you dare go back. Don't you dare go back. There's nothing back there for you. You cleave to the Lord. You hold on to Him. And will there be difficult times? Yes, there will be difficult times. Will there be challenges from time to time? Yes, there will be challenges from time to time. Will there be doubts from time to time? Yes, there will be doubts. Will there be persecutions? Will there be times you want to just dive into a hole somewhere and to avoid the world and what's going on around us? Absolutely. But we're married to Christ, and we're going to work it out. Whatever those doubts are, whatever those times of discouragements are, we need to cleave, leave, and cleave. We have made a covenant, just like the covenant of marriage. We've made a covenant with the Lord. We sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus, right? We like that song. Tyler leads it from time to time. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Don't look around. Don't look back at the world. Don't even think about it. We made a covenant. We promised, just like in the marriage relationship, to honor and to obey and to love our Lord, our Master Jesus. There's no turning back. We're going to live for Him till death do us part. That's what we say in the marriage ceremony, isn't it? Till death do we part. But in the case of Jesus, it's not any separation at death, is there? There's no time we're separated. Not death or life or principalities or powers or anything in this world or that which is to come can separate us from the love of God. Romans chapter 8. We're in with Him completely. And even death does not separate us. We must cleave unto Him. We need to cleave to Him because of the great debt that we owe. The great debt that we owe. We understand this principle in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Paul there, of course, was preaching, teaching, giving instruction to the elders of the church at Ephesus. And he said to take heed unto yourself and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops, to feed the church of the Lord, which He purchased with His own blood. The church of the Lord, which He purchased with His own blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Peter says, knowing that you were redeemed, we've been purchased, we've been redeemed, not with corruptible things, not with silver or gold or Bitcoin or anything else. I don't even know what Bitcoin is. I hear about it. I hear that if you bought Bitcoin, you probably now are very rich if you bought it a year and a half or two or three years ago. I still don't know what it is. But you weren't purchased with Bitcoin. You weren't purchased with greenbacks. You weren't purchased with silver or gold from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood, purchased with blood as of a lamb without spot, even the blood of Christ. Point number two I want to make is cleaving to the Lord involves commitment. Cleaving to the Lord involves commitment. Cleave to Him. Cleave to Him. Hold on to Him. Never let go. Never look back. But as I make that decision to follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus, then I understand that there are some commitments involved in that. It's a commitment, first of all, to Bible study. We never stop growing. Study God's Word. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. We see in this psalm, the psalmist says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, Jehovah, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a stream planted, like a tree planted by the streams of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also doth not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the wicked are not so." And so blessed is the man who doesn't counsel with the wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law, he meditates day and night. That's the way. That's the secret. Remember, we just recently studied about Joshua in the first chapter of Joshua in our Sunday morning class. And we're talking about being strong like Joshua and God's instructions to Joshua to be strong and be courageous and not be afraid. And we can cleave unto the Lord if we will commit to learning his word and studying his word and knowing his word. The Lord says to Joshua there, you put the word of the Lord in your mouth and in your heart, and you keep it there. You keep it there. Don't let the word of the Lord depart from your mouth. You keep it there. Study and study and study and read and refresh and learn and over and over and over again. It should never get tiring. It should never get old. And it's always there to remind us and to encourage us and instruct us. Learn the law of the Lord. Keep it on your heart. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 119. Oh, how I love thy law. Verse 97. It is my meditation all the day. Thy commandments make me wiser than mine enemies. They are ever with me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have kept thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might observe thy word. I have not turned aside from thine ordinances, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. God's word is what guides us. God's word should be sweet to us. God's word is what gives us the instruction and the guidance and the help and the constant comfort that we need. Don't ever turn away. Don't ever lose sight of it. It's a daily, daily need that we have. Just like we need physical food daily, we need the nourishment of the bread of life daily. We need it in our lives. Spend time with it. Study it, learn it, meditate upon it, as he says there in Psalm chapter 1. Commitment to worship. We need to be spending time with God's people. I know I'm preaching to the choir this evening. You're the ones that are here. Others need this point maybe more than you do. But let us never, even those of us who are faithful, even those of us who are always here, never let us forget the importance of worship. Never let it become a drudgery. Never let it come just a habit. Don't come just because your conscience would hurt you if you don't come. Come because you understand the importance of spending time with brothers and sisters. David said, "I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord." Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking our own assembling together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another as you see the day drawing nigh. Hebrews 10:25, to those of us who are brothers and sisters in Christ, Hebrews 10:25 should not just be used as a hammer to beat people over the heads. I'm afraid sometimes in some places that's what it's become. The preachers who just use it to remind people, you got to be here, you got to be here, you got to be here. That's not Paul's point. What does Paul say there, or whoever the author of Hebrews is? He says in verse 22, beginning, "Let us draw near with a true heart and fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and having our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold fast of the hope that we waver not, for he is faithful that promised." Let us hold fast. Let us not waver. We have a great high priest, verse 21, over the house of God. We have the way that has been dedicated for us, a true and a living way. God in his mercy and God in his love and God in his wisdom has given us the church. He's given us one another to love each other and to encourage each other and to help each other. We're facing an enemy out there and we need each other. We're facing a pandemic that's worse than anything we've faced in the last year and a half. It's death by the devil. And the writer is reminding us to hold fast and to draw near and hold fast the confession of our hope, that it waver not. Don't you waver. Don't you dare waver. And what's going to help us? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, the time that we spend together in the worship of God, coming to sing songs of praise unto God, going to God in prayer through his Son, Jesus Christ, spending time with brothers and sisters. We need to have a commitment to worship. We need to have a commitment to service. We need to be serving one another. Jesus served his disciples. You know the story. I don't have to tell you. In his humility, as he gets down the night before his own death and washed his disciples' feet, you all know the story. Girded himself with a towel, washed his feet. Some of them didn't like it, especially Peter. But Jesus gives them an example, and he says that in the context. He's doing this to give them an example. We're to serve one another. And we were talking about Barnabas as we began this lesson. Barnabas was a servant to others. We see that over and over again. The son of exhortation. He encouraged people. And when there was someone that was needed to go to Antioch, Barnabas said, I don't think I have time in my schedule to do that. You know, I was going to take a vacation. I hadn't got to play golf in a while. And could you send someone else, please? That's not Barnabas. That's not Barnabas. He was willing to go. He was willing to be spent. He was willing to serve. He was willing to do the Lord's will. You think about the one another passages that we have in Scripture to love one another and edify one another and receive one another and admonish one another and bear one another's burdens and comfort and exhort and consider and greet one another with a holy kiss. I guess we don't give the holy kiss anymore. It's epidemic time or pandemic time. Serve one another. Live for one another. Think of one another. Consider one another. Edify one another. We need that commitment to service. We need a commitment to devotion. Commitment to devotion. Love the Lord thy God. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the great and the first commandment. A second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love God and love your neighbor. Be devoted to one another. Be devoted to the Lord. Let our cleaving to the Lord means allowing our faith and commitment to Jesus Christ become the core of our very being. We serve others. We're devoted to others. It's important to us. It's not just a going through the motions. It's not a have-to religion. It's a serving God from the heart, loving him more than anything else, loving his ways more than anything else, loving his truth, his church more than anything else. Love God with all of your heart and soul and strength and mind. Thirdly of all, we should cleave to him because of the great peace and the hope and joy that we can have in Christ Jesus. In Romans chapter 5, in the first couple verses, Paul says, being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have had our access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What a hope we have. What a hope we have. The hope of heaven someday. The hope of being with all the righteous of all ages. The hope of being with God and with His Son and His Spirit. What a great hope and a joy that we have. And that hope of the future, that hope of that life with Him, that hope of being with God's people in that eternal home should bring great joy and peace to us as we live in this life. Yes, this life is full of trial and turmoil and hard work and daily routines and getting up and going to work and all the things that we have to do to make ends meet in this life. But underlying all of that as we live for Him is this great peace and joy and hope that we should have, keeping our eye on heaven. In John chapter 6, our brother mentioned that at the table this morning about Jesus and the things that He was saying to the multitudes. He had just fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and fishes. And then He preaches a wonderful sermon. We're going to be getting to it soon as we talk about the book of John and study the book of John on Wednesday evening. And He gets to this passage, and I agree 100% with what Brother Britt said this morning. I don't believe He's talking about the Lord's Supper either. But in that passage, He is teaching them the importance of taking Him in, eating His flesh and drinking His blood has reference to them assimilating. He's the bread of life. And just as we eat bread and we take it into ourselves and we assimilate it and it gives us strength and nourishment, our strength and nourishment comes from Him. It comes from taking Him in and His life. And Jesus said some hard things. And some were discouraged and walked away. And verse 66 says, upon this many of His disciples went back and walked with Him no more with Him. And Jesus said to the 12, would you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And that's exactly right. Don't ever let go. Don't ever let go. Cleave to Him. He has the words of eternal life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way to the Father. And when we make that commitment, don't ever look back. Cleave to Him and to Him alone as long as you shall live. And what a reward we have waiting for us someday. And what joy we can have in this life as we have fellowship one with another. And what satisfaction and benefits we receive as we serve each other and others. No greater life than living the life with Him. Cleave to Him as long as we shall live. If you're not a Christian, a child of God tonight, we hope that you will be. We hope that you want to cleave to Him. If you haven't made the decision to cleave to Him, come believing in Jesus as God's Son. Repent of your sins. Confess His name before this good audience, and we will assist you in being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Obey Jesus tonight and cling to Him. Cleave to Him. As long as you live. While together we stand and while we sit.